Good morning. Welcome to Thursday, 9:35 here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And now at this time, it's time to talk about our heating and air service with Climatech Professional Air, Travis Thompson. Travis, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Glad to be here. How are you today?
That's going well. It's been a solid week. I've been playing host on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And I've always said this, and I'll continue to say it. I find the show very enjoyable.
It's fun.
From a hosting perspective, it's pretty enjoyable.
It's good. I like listening to a lot of the other people that are on. It's pretty entertaining. I find myself kind of getting engrossed in it when people start talking about certain topics and you wonder what happened to 20 minutes. You just kind of flew by.
I know. I've always said this about radio. It's the one job I think you'll ever have where you watch the clock and it goes too fast.
That's about the truth. I mean, there are days, you know, we've done this show many times and it's like, it feels like 10 minutes and you've sat here 30 minutes. It can fly. It really can.
Exactly. And we don't even have any commercial breaks. We just go.
Right.
And it just flies on by. And I tell you what, you were mentioning me during the break, but it sounds like things have been pretty busy for you lately.
It has. It's been extremely busy. You know, a lot of commercial work still going on, but residential's been pretty high as well for this time of year. Almost a feeling around our office like it's June and July, which it's great. We're not complaining about it, but it's very busy. So that's been good.
I used to work in the restaurant industry over in the beach, so the winter times were usually our our slower period.
Right.
Is this time of the year normally considered the slow period for the HVAC community?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, our shoulder seasons, they call it like spring and fall when you have that perfect weather, are definitely the slowest. But as you know from being here, a lot of times our winter is a shoulder season. We don't get a lot of winter. This year, though, it's been different. We've had quite a bit of cold weather, so that's kept the phones ringing, kept people, you know, engaged in their heating and cooling system. So it's definitely kept it busier this winter than most.
All right. So, but it's good that business has been moving.
Yep.
You know, you're keeping it going. And by the way, this is a call and text in show. So 437-1620, 437-1620, if you want to join in on the program, have any questions for Travis Thompson, he'll be happy to answer them for you. So what are we talking about today? What's on your mind?
Well, just try to bring topics that I get kind of thrown to me by either customers or technicians in between shows. One of them that stuck out was I had a customer that was concerned about SEER rating versus capacity, or how much the unit would heat and cool. And that's kind of a myth that's been around for quite a while. So I figured I'd kind of talk about that just a little bit. One thing that happened years back was when the EPA started making regulations that air conditioning systems had to be more efficient. A lot of manufacturers just made their units more efficient. Well, some of them made them more efficient by actually reducing the size of the compressor. And it was a little misleading because even though the tonnage that people talk about, say a 3-ton, that's 36,000 BTUs of heating and cooling. Well, some manufacturers actually shorted their compressors, which used less wattage. Therefore, their SEER rating went up, but they still categorized it as a 3-ton, even though it wasn't providing a full 36,000 BTUs of cooling. So we had some people that, you know, they kind of got caught in that, where somebody may have installed a unit that they took out a 3-ton and they put in this new high SEER 3-ton and it didn't cool as well. Well, it wasn't the SEER rating so much as it was the unit was actually not at a full capacity 3-ton. So they you know, the myth kind of got started out there that the higher the SEER rating unit is, it doesn't heat and cool as much. And that's not true. Each unit made has a different SEER rating and a different capacity. And a lot of times I like to provide our customers with an engineered data from our manufacturer. American Standard offers us a very good platform to actually print it out and say, look, okay, here's a 3-ton unit and here is the actual sensible and lading capacity. This is, so it is a full 3-ton and in some cases, maybe even a little bit more. So we try to, you know, push that and let people know that way our load calculation that we do, if it matches the BTUs of the unit, not necessarily saying a 3-ton or 2.5-ton, but if the BTUs match up, you won't have any problem with your heating and cooling system. And that's one thing that I ran into here this past week, was a customer very concerned with that. So figured it'd just be a topic to bring up. And if anybody had questions about it, of course, glad to answer them.
Now, what is a SEER Okay. Rating.
Yeah. Seasonal energy efficiency rating. So what they do is they take the efficiency of a system and they look at the efficiency over the course of a year. So it's not just a snapshot of how efficient that unit is, because your unit efficiency changes literally hour by hour, because as our temperature outside goes up or down, the efficiency or how much that unit heats and cools changes. So they look at a seasonal energy efficiency, and that's what an SEER is. And the higher the number, the more efficient it is for it to run over the course of that season.
How can I check my SEER rating?
If you go to online, there's a lot of tools. If you have your model and serial number of your indoor and outdoor unit, you should be able to go in there and find an ARI number, which is a government number they give it, that should give you a SEER rating of that equipment, and it probably even has the capacity of that unit as well.
Okay. Does that increase the capacity?
No. Your capacity is going to be based on the engineered data. For example, if I take a particular outdoor unit, I can match that same outdoor unit with sometimes 5, 6, 7, or 8 different indoor units. Well, depending on what indoor unit I match with that outdoor unit, my SEER rating and capacity changes. Maybe not drastic, but it changes some. And in some cases, it is pretty drastic. We can take the same outdoor unit, and we may be able to get a full SEER rating better out of that unit just by a different indoor unit. And then the same thing, we can actually shortchange an outdoor unit by putting a maybe not so good match on the indoor unit. So matching your equipment and not just... it's not quite as simple as I want a 3-ton, 14 SEER. I can sell you a 14 SEER 3-ton condenser, but now what air handler do we want to put on it? And that's where we really like to look at the duct system you've got. What's the best fit for your duct system? Because the last thing I want to do is sell you a high efficiency system and your duct system be poor. Therefore, you're not going to get the benefit of that high SEER system. You're going to just be throwing money away.
You mentioned the duct system. That actually ties in with the text message that we just received at 437-1620. We're remodeling an older home that doesn't have any ductwork. Is it better to add a ductwork system or go with a ductless system?
That would be independent of the home, and I know I say that a lot on this show, but the amount of attic space and room that you have to put a duct system would be a huge factor in that. Some of the older homes have really big, nice attics to work in. We've got regular split systems that work and operate just like a mini split. It's the variable speed compressors, very efficient, very good at humidity control, very quiet. But if you've got a smaller space to work with and you can't do that, you don't want to give up any room for a closet or no room in the attic for an air handler, then the mini splits may be a great option. So it could be either or, and that's something that, call our office. I'll be glad to set up an appointment, come out, look at it for you, and give you my opinion based on your home.
Yeah, I have a question about load capacity because, mm-hmm. or really the load calculations. How does it, basically, how does load calculation work?
Okay. Actually, glad you brought it up because this came up yesterday. I had a customer that we were looking at his house doing a load calculation, and other people had already been there, and he's like, well, I need a 2.5-ton. I said, okay. I said, that's fine. I said, first of all, to pull a permit, I have to have a load calculation anyway. So we did his house in my little computer, and I showed him. I said, okay, so here's your home and here's what it shows, and watch this. And what I can do is, after building the home, I think the load capacity was, let's just say, 2.7 tons. Take that same exact house and rotate it 90 degrees so that it faces north south instead of east west. It changed his tonnage by almost 3/4 of a ton. So a lot of if you hear anybody say this many square foot needs this many tons, run. That's not correct. It doesn't work that way. Now, you can be close, but houses are very different depending on which way the glass faces, depending on what your actual insulation value is in your home. If it's off grade, do you have insulation underneath it? Does it have a fireplace? Does it leak? How many people are in it? All those things factor into a load calculation, and every house is different. And as long as I've been doing this, a lot of times I have a pretty good idea, but I do the load calculation, and I can't tell you how many times I'm surprised at, okay, whoa, this is not right. And our industry is full of houses that have actually oversized equipment in them.
Okay, so like, for example, I could live in a 1,500 square foot home. My buddy could live in a home that's the same size, but our homes, depending on the features, could require different load calculations.
Absolutely. If you just had a big, nice plate glass window on one side of the house that faced east, well, that's going to get a lot of sun and a lot of heat gain when the sun's hitting that glass. Now, if I take that same glass and face it to the south where it doesn't get sun, I don't have any heat gain from it. And that's a big difference in BTUs coming into the home. Because basically, if you think of an air conditioning system, it's a vacuum. We're sucking out heat. And all we've got to do is make sure we're sucking out the amount of heat that's coming into the house. So anything I have that brings heat into that house is part of my load calculation, whether it be human occupants in the house, cooking, large windows, any of that. And windows is the biggest thing, because dependent on how they're facing, it makes a big difference. Or even a big overhang. Say you got a big glass window, but it's got a big overhang that shades it from the sun, changes the load altogether. And it doesn't take but a few windows facing another direction to drastically swing the calculation.
So we have a text message. We have a couple of text messages that are coming in now, but this one is a follow-up to the home that is asking about ductwork or a ductless system. They're wondering what the price difference would be between the two.
That's very dependent on how many zones you would have. So mini splits, if you want to do ductless, depends on the type of indoor unit you want to get. The wall mount units that you actually see hanging on the wall are the least expensive. And then how many of those you're going to have. There's a lot of other features now that we have, you know, flush mount air handlers and things like that. So you don't see them on the wall, that are very nice, very sleek, but they cost more because they've got a lot of other function to them. So that's a very hard question to try to put a figure on without knowing how many zones are in the house and how many things you'd have to do separately.
So a follow up, and this involves duct systems also. Another new text message, I really should say, does a duct system sweat on the inside?
No. The duct system does have a little bit of moisture in it right off the top of the coil. When an air conditioning system's running, and it's been running for a little while, the air coming through that coil, when it first comes through it, your coil is completely saturated with water. So you've got a very high concentration of water coming off of that coil going into your ductwork. Now, that quickly starts to dissipate, and what we find most times is when we say we remove an old duct system, the first 2 or 3 feet of ductwork right above that air handler does get damp and dry out, gets damp and dries out. So you'll find some mold in there if we don't have something stopping mold from coming into the system, or if we don't have a UV light or anything like there to treat it. So, but by the time it gets down the system, you know, 4 or 5 feet, the air has actually warmed up enough, and the water that's in that has actually started to evaporate to the point where you're not sweating inside. You don't have wet duct on the inside of the duct system. So as far as does the inside of the duct system sweat, no, but you do have a high concentration of moisture right off the top of that coil.
And just a reminder, we're here with Travis Thompson of Climatech, a professional heating and air. We are calling and texting the show. So you have any questions, comments you want to offer, 437-1620, 437-1620. You know, going back to load calculations, I have a question. How often do you come across a home that has an air conditioning system that is not meant for that home whatsoever, and as a result of that, what could happen negatively to the home if it has an air conditioner that is not properly calculated for that home?
Sure. A lot. We see it a lot. I would venture to say probably 50% of the homes I go in, the air conditioning system is actually not sized properly. Now, does that mean your house is not heating and cooling? No, it doesn't. But what happens is the unit, let's say it's oversized, and that's what we see the most of, that unit's going to cut on and off a lot more than a system that's sized properly. Well, if you relate that to automobiles, how does your fuel mileage on your car do running around town when you're start, stop, as opposed to getting on the interstate and running for a long time? Exact same thing. So we're getting more energy usage out of that system because it's cutting on and off more, and we're getting a higher moisture in the house because we're not having as long of a runtime. So the moisture level may not be enough that you've got mold growing everywhere, but people complain about hot and cold spots, and I've seen this a lot. You know, the bedroom's hot, this bedroom's cold, whatever it might be. A lot of that is caused by not enough runtime. So we have had a lot of systems where customers want to maybe change the duct system in this room or do something differently. And I'll say, look, let's get this system put in first and see if you still have the problem. And I can't tell you how many of them have told me, you know what, it's good now. We don't need it. So a lot of those kind of hot and cold spots, or, you know, if you have a system where you're laying in bed at night and you're freezing when it's kicked on and you're burning up when it's kicked off, that's very good signs that a system's probably oversized or not doing enough moisture removal.
You know, I have a home where, depending on the time of the day, afternoon in this case, it's a townhouse. So on the second story, the guest bedroom has a window and sunlight can shine directly at it. Mm-hmm. Now we have curtains that block out the sun. It still leaks through, but right. That room tends to be the hottest room mm-hmm. in the whole house. How can I better cool off that room to make it, you know, I walk from my bedroom, which feels fine, mm-hmm. and then it feels the same way in the room that typically is the hottest room because of the direct sunlight.
Right. That can be done with a few things. I mean, one of them we do a lot of now are remote sensors. So if we have a thermostat, we can actually leave the thermostat where it's at, maybe put a remote sensor in that room and allow it to average the temperature. So it'll actually look at the temperature in the hallway or wherever the central thermostat is, but it will take into consideration, hey, this room over here is 3 degrees higher, so we're going to meet in the middle at a degree and a half and we're going to run a little bit cooler. That's kind of a quick fix, because other than that, you have to get into how much air goes into that room. And sometimes you fight, because when that room's not getting the sunlight, you're actually going to overcool that room. And then when you're getting the sunlight, you're going to cool it perfectly. So sometimes you have to kind of split your difference and live with a little bit of it, depending on how that window is positioned and what else you've done to it. But sometimes it's hard to nail it perfect, because you have to realize, and this again goes to load calculation, when your sun's coming up, all of your glass on the east side is getting blasted with heat. So those rooms are going to need more air conditioning. Well, in the afternoon, your west ones need more. And without having a very elaborate zone system or something to keep the exact same temperature, you're going to have a little bit of swing. But in a situation like that where you got one room that's really bad, that remote sensor would probably be a great fix to try to even that out.
Is that a service that y'all provide?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. I lived in one home. It was a rental. So the person that owned the home, he was a tech guy. Mm-hmm. Everything in the house was built in the early 80s, mm-hmm. but everything in the house was teched out. So I noticed these little kind of bulbs things that were stuck on the wall, but each mm-hmm. room had their own little bulb. Mm-hmm. And I learned about 8 months into my 2-year lease that it was the temperature, for the temperature
okay.
gauge.
Yeah.
Which I thought that was really cool.
It is. And you can take that further. You know, you can do multiple sensors off these newer thermostats, and you can do them wireless without even having to run wire. And you can have them average, or you can tell it, hey, look, this is the master bedroom. That's where the sensor is. I want you to base it on that sensor. So you can make your master bedroom the temperature you want, and whatever the rest of the house gets, it gets. So there's a few different ways you can set those up, and it's a pretty neat tool to use in those kind of situations where you really, it's hard to zone based on one room, but you can definitely use those and average it.
So going back to what you were saying earlier, comparing the AC units to driving a car in the city, you waste mm-hmm. more gas, more you start and stop compared to driving on the interstate.
That's right.
So how long would you recommend running your unit?
Well, that's a big thing that we get that a lot too. You know, we have customers sometimes say, you know, in the summertime, this thing runs all the time. If a single compressor, single run, your standard 14 SEER unit, one that just is a single stage, is sized properly, that thing should run most of the day on one of the hotter days of the year. You know, once we're above 90 degrees outside, because the way a load calculation is based, you have to base your load calculation on the hottest day of the year. So that air conditioning system is designed for the hottest day of the year to run virtually nonstop. As long as it's maintaining temperature in the house where you have it set, it's sized perfectly. If you've got a system and we're 98 degrees outside and that thing's cutting on and off every 15, 20 minutes, it's too big. I can guarantee you. And that's not a huge thing then. The problem is, what about a day when it's 80? Now it's only running just a few minutes and cutting off. Now my moisture level is really building up in the house. I'm cutting it on and off way too much. I'm wearing out my components. You know, contactor problems, capacitor problems, even compressor problems, all these things that if that's a regular service thing that you've seen happen multiple times, those are good indicators that your system may be too large and it's cutting on and off too much. Be like burning up a starter in a car all the time. Mm. You don't burn up a starter running down the interstate, but all those components that are used to get everything going, you burn them up when they're cutting off.
We're here with Travis Thompson of Climatech Professional Air. You can call or text in at 437-1620. I believe we just got another text message here. Is it an expensive top shelf blue air filter? All right, I'm going to reread this. Is an expensive top shelf blue shelf air filter better than the low shelf cardboard and green inexpensive filter?
Okay, great question. The filters that you have are dependent on two things: how much air you're sucking through them, so the size of your unit or how many grills you have, and then the static pressure drop of that filter. So if my filter size is not large enough to accommodate a top shelf filter, a high MERV rated filter, then if I put that high rated filter into a filter grill that's too small for my system, then I'm just choking my system down. I have stopped airflow. While I may be stopping a lot of dust and dirt, and that's great, I'm hurting my system because it has to have enough air moving through it for all the other components to work right. So in those cases, you're kind of stuck having to use the green cardboard filter. Now, if you've got a really large filter grill and you've got maybe multiple filter grills, the high MERV filters are great, but you have to kind of do a little research because you got to know how much air am I getting through that filter in that opening size that I have. And that's another thing we see a lot of. You know, the house is built, they get a standard 24 wide by 12 high filter, and then they got a 3-ton unit. Well, that filter's already too small before you even get started. So by putting higher quality filters in it, you're just going to hurt the unit. And it's a bad spot to be in, because I would love for every unit to be able to have these nice high-grade filters because we keep the system clean, keep it more efficient. But sometimes it's very difficult once a house is built to get more return air because they just don't leave a lot of room for us.
So quick question. We have about a minute and a half. I know people are concerned about COVID, especially inside the home when they're mm-hmm. quarantining. What are best practices for people to keep their air clean?
Well, we've got a lot of filters, though. We talked about the Remy Halo quite a bit, and that's one that, you know, has been proven now to actually kill the coronavirus that we're dealing with now. So that one is a great one. It's a fairly easy, quick install. That actually cleans the air in the entire house. So it actually goes out into the air with the way that operates and kills those bacteria and viruses in the air. And even, I believe they say within 3 feet of your face. So if you sneeze within 3 feet, they claim that 99.9% of all that stuff is killed in the air. So a very effective way to do it there. And then, of course, the filters we were just talking about, if you can get better filters in it, but make sure before you just throw a better filter in it that you look at that size and see how much air you're moving through it.
Well, Travis Thompson, as always, we appreciate it when you come in. How can we get a hold of you if you want to learn a little bit more or sure. Reach out for your services?
Call our office, 850-857-4700, or you can go online, climatechproair.com.
And also, we're going to be podcasting this show on our News Radio 92.3 podcast page, and it'll be available on really anywhere you access your podcast, so you can gain your information from this show once we are finished here. So, Travis, always good seeing you. Look forward
Same
to talking
here.
To you soon.
Thank you.